I want us to look tonight at Elijah meeting Obadiah. Elijah meeting Obadiah. Well, verse 1 of 1 Kings 18 states, "And it came to pass after many days." Now let's think about the time Elijah was first at the brook Kereth and then at Zarephath, staying with the widow and her son. We're talking in total around 3 years. Again, the text references it many days. Now that's a long time. Think about it. That's a long time for a prophet. And I mean, Elijah, you know he was a get-up-and-go guy. That's a long time for a prophet to remain pretty inactive. I'm sure there were countless times Elijah wanted to break free from this complete seclusion. I mean, you think about it. Who wants to camp by a brook for a year? To stay, to be really dependent on a widow and her son for a year. I mean, he's a man. But to then have to be dependent, of course, this is God, how God provided. But I'm sure there were countless times Elijah wanted to say, "Lord, how long? How long? I want to do something productive, Lord. I know we're talking about 3.5 years, but I want to do something productive." Besides it being God's way of protecting his prophet from Ahab, it was also an opportunity for Elijah to develop spiritual patience. And how is patience developed? Well, James tells us the trying of your faith worketh patience. Paul adds, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And what does patience really mean? It means endurance. You just keep trusting the Lord. You just keep saying, "Lord, my hope is in you." And since one of the signs of an apostle was patience, here was God's way of bringing this needed quality to life in Elijah. I want to read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. For ye have need of patience, after that ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Ye have need of patience, perseverance, that after ye have done the will of God, he might receive the promise. Now further, there is a great lesson for us in the writer's use of the word days. After many days. Perhaps he used days to remind us life is not 1 year at a time, but 1 day at a time. I'm 65 years old, but each of our years is made up of days. And what does the psalmist tell us? Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, which tells me, let us live each day as though it could be our last day. Let us be faithful today. Let us be obedient today. We do not know if we'll have tomorrow. Let us do right today. Let us trust and obey today. Let us love Jesus today. Every day you have, that should be your goal. Don't have throwaway days. At the end of your day, tonight, you should be able to look back and say, "Lord, I served you. I was obedient to you by your grace. I loved you. I served you." Teach us to number our days. Well, again, verse 1 states, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Now, obedience to this command would take a lot of courage. Amen? Elijah was not Ahab's most favorite person in the world. They did not exchange Christmas cards, I can promise you. Especially after stating in 1 Kings 17, verse 1, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, this is Elijah speaking to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And then what happened? There was no rain. There was no rain. Since Elijah's prophecy had come to pass, Ahab had been searching the world over to find his enemy. Look at verse 10 of this chapter, 1 Kings chapter 18. As the Lord, this is Obadiah speaking, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. So Ahab was serious about finding whom? Elijah. And now God is saying, Elijah, I want you to go show yourself to this king. But thankfully, Elijah obeyed. Notice verse 2. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. He obeyed. And I believe this obedience stemmed in part because Elijah had learned patience. He had learned he could wait on the Lord, that God was faithful and true. He could be trusted and obeyed. What does that verse at the end of Psalm 27 tell us we need to do? Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. At the same time, God told Elijah to go to meet Ahab. Ahab told Obadiah, notice verse 5, go into the land, unto all the fountains of water, unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. Now let's be reminded of the present state of affairs here. While God sustained Elijah first at Kereth and then at Zarephath, the end of verse 2 tells us, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. And the reason Israel had sinned grievously against the Lord. Truth had been rejected. The vile Jezebel had defiled the land with her false prophets and priests. The altar of Baal had supplanted the altar of the Lord, and so because Israel had sown to the wind, it was now having to reap the whirlwind. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man what? Soweth, that shall he also reap. And notice what effect this severe heavenly judgment had on Ahab. Again, verse 5. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all the fountains of water, unto all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. Now think about this. The land, as we just read in verse 2, there was a sore famine, a severe famine in Samaria. That affected people, it affected their livestock, it affected what they could or could not eat. I mean, it affected every aspect of their lives. But what occupied Ahab's heart and mind? Well, it certainly wasn't God. And it certainly wasn't the needs of the people of Israel. There was not a single word here about God. There was not a single concern about the people over which he was ruling. Ahab's thoughts centered on fountains, brooks, grass for his horses and mules. Ahab was so reprobate, his heart seemed incapable of rising higher than horses and mules. That is sad. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, when a person allows sin in their lives, when they turn their back on God, they lose all sense of even what is normal, what should be concerning to you. I mean, if you were the king over people, why weren't you concerned about the people? I mean, how self-centered. His concern was horses and mules. How you live affects how you think. How you live, whether you're obedient or not, affects your decision making. I think of the contrast here to David, a man after God's own heart. In 2 Samuel 24, verse 17, "And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house." What was David's concern? I mean, when there was a severe judgment, punishment coming upon Israel, he was ready to take the what? The blame. He said, it's me. Judge me. Don't judge my people. Judge me. I am the reason for the plague that's coming upon this country. Well, verse 6, if you'll turn back to 1 Kings 18, verse 6 tells us, "So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself." And then verse 17, "And as Obadiah was in the way," in other words, as he was going through the land looking for grass, some water for the beasts, "behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and he fell on his face and said, Art thou that, my Lord, Elijah?" Again, in obedience to God's command, Elijah went to present himself before Ahab. And now, as we see, good things are always in store for the obedient. Let me just put it this way. When you are walking in obedience, you walk in God's will. And he brings to pass the people, the events, the provision, whatever is a part of that will. He brings it to pass according to his divine purpose. You don't want to miss out on God's will today. Remember, we said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. En route, he met Obadiah. As the prophet was going to see Ahab, he crossed paths with Obadiah. A good thing. A good prelude to Ahab. Now, what about Obadiah? What can we say about him? Should we denounce Obadiah as an unfaithful compromiser, as someone who sought to serve two masters? Well, notice how the scriptures describe this governor of Ahab's house. Verse 3 states, "Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly." I think it's significant that we see the word greatly there. And because he did so, notice what verse 4 tells us. "For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets, hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water." And so he was trying to preserve these godly men, these men who still believed in worshiping Jehovah. Let me say, there's nothing wrong with working for a heathen. What are two examples in the Bible of godly men working for a heathen? Joseph? Daniel. Very good. Joseph and Daniel. Nothing wrong with working for a heathen if you can do so without sacrificing biblical principles of right and wrong. Amen? Remember, Philippians 4:22 tells us there were saints in Caesar's household. And here we see that Obadiah was instrumental in saving the lives of many of God's servants. I am sure that as the governor of Ahab, he had access to food, water, that the average person did not have. Amen? I mean, obviously, Ahab would take care of his own home before he'd take care of others. So Obadiah, being the governor of the house, the governor of Ahab, he had access to these products. And what did he do with them? He used them to preserve the voice of God in these prophets. I like that. And so when Elijah met Ahab, he had not a bad word to say about Ahab. I mean, he had not a bad word to say about Ahab's servant. I like what Matthew Henry's comment here is on Obadiah. And I quote, as he had shown the tenderness of a father to the sons of the prophet, or prophets, so he showed the reverence of a son to the father of the prophets. And by this made it appear he did indeed fear the Lord greatly. Isn't that a great quote? Now verse 8, and notice the respect Elijah showed even to Ahab. Notice verse 8, when Obadiah said, "Art thou that my Lord Elijah?" And Elijah answered, "I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here." I think it's interesting that Elijah called Ahab Lord, thy Lord. Remember, it's always the duty of inferiors to show respect to their superiors, of servants concerning their masters. Remember, God's command has commanded us to honor the king. And he might be a scoundrel, but we honor him because he holds this particular what? Office. And I'll just say this, and I think we need to be very careful about what we say. We might disagree with the man. We might disagree with his policies, but we should always show respect for him because of the office he holds. That is a Christian perspective. And you can pray, "Lord, deliver us," but we honor. The Bible commands us to honor the king. Now verse 9, notice verse 9, we're almost done. And he said, "What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me?" What was going on here? Obadiah believed that delivering such news to Ahab. What did Elijah say to Obadiah? "I know where Elijah is." But what is Obadiah saying? As the verse 10, "As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord has sent to seek thee." And when they said, "He is not here," there he took an oath of the kingdom and the nation that they found thee not. In spite of all their malicious diligence, God had preserved his servant. Ahab was determined to find Elijah. And when he would go to a particular country, has Elijah been here? No. Well, he made him take an oath. Are you sure? Yes, he's not here. He's not been here. But in spite of all their malicious diligence, God had preserved his servant. And then Obadiah continued, verse 11. And now behold, and we need to keep reading to understand here the flow here. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Verse 12, and it shall come to pass, as soon as I'm gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord greatly. Obadiah was afraid that Elijah would mysteriously, what? Disappear, and then his master would deal severely with him. You told me you have Elijah. Well, where is he? You told me he's here. Well, he's gone now. And then he added in verse 13, was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? It wasn't told them. It wasn't told Ahab and Jezebel. But now you're telling me to tell Ahab, hey, Elijah is here. Obadiah was saying to Elijah, I simply need for you not to go AWOL. And so we conclude our study tonight with the last three verses. Verse 14, and now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. The rendezvous is coming, folks. Good versus evil is about to happen. And where would it happen? On Mount Carmel.